I just want to start out by saying, you know that I love doctors. You know that I respect the medical community because it's amazing people who are that disciplined, that intelligent, to go to school as long as they do, to help others the way that they do. So on this journey that I've been on, my doctor has been awesome. But about 2 weeks ago, I sat in an office pretty frustrated with my doctor, not with him, but we were frustrated together. And he came to the point where I could tell that he was ready to call in some help because he didn't know what to do. And that was not something that I was happy about, right? You don't want to be exceptional when it comes to your recovery timelines. You don't want to be the outlier. And so things did not progress how we thought they would. But what's amazing about this is I know that the power of prayer works. So I'm not going to give you a whole optometry lesson here, but my pressures were more than double what they should have been. And they weren't coming down. It just wasn't happening. And so the same doctor who had been frustrated, I was able to sit in his office last Monday. And to be able to see him trying to process the drop in numbers. It went from being incredibly high to right in the normal range within a matter of days. That can be attributed to a lot of things, but I attribute it to the power of prayer and the healing power of God. In bearing with me this morning, first of all, I'm not in pain, okay? I may fall down the stairs, but when it comes to the patch, I figured out I run into more things with the patch than I do without the patch. So to save you all from watching me bumping into things, we're not going to do that. But today, I want to share something that's been on my heart with you. When I was young, I would always watch nature specials. Wild Kingdom. The one that was on all the time, and you may remember this, was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. It had that trumpet music in the beginning, you know, and it was just awesome. Even to this day, I will watch, if I have a choice, nature specials. My wife makes fun of me for this. My wife makes fun of me to the point because I feel like somewhat of a nature specialist. And so when there are animals in our yard or animals behaving a certain way, I do what they call personification. So I attribute human qualities sometimes to these animals and their emotions. Okay, now, she makes fun of me. But this is why, right here. See, look. Big Bird understands the dude with the teddy bear, the grown man with the teddy bear. Big Bird understands. I think it started there, right? I think it may have started, like, even when it comes to scripture, my love for things, nature. I remember when Brother Henderson, when I was at Mentor Heritage Christian Academy as a student, he would open every day and he would read the Proverbs to us. And I remember in Proverbs 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. You know, it goes on to talk about how hard ants work, how they just work without a leader telling them what to do, they work. And then at the end, I always loved that part. How long are you going to sleep, O sluggard? How long until you arise out of your sleep? I love that. Matthew 6. We read, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I remember on this very stage, a young lady by the name of Michelle Hess. Under the anointing of God, she would sing His Eyes on the Sparrow. And the way she had finished that off, and I know he watches me. You don't get to choose the season, but you get to choose how you praise during the season. I love the way that God, through his design, still uses nature to speak to me today. On Good Friday, I got to learn a word over again, and that word is positioning. By that, I was told by a doctor after a surgery that I would need to lay face down for 50 minutes out of every hour. And to break the monotony, sometimes I could lay on my right side. There comes a point where that gets old. About 8 minutes into the first laying down, it gets old. See, there was a 3-hour surgery, but after the surgery ended, I was made aware that something happened in the OR that wasn't fully resolved in the OR, that there was a process that required time and positioning for healing to take place. How long does it take for a pastor to get frustrated, you may ask? Well, for me, it takes about 3 weeks and 4 days of that, of a constant headache. And at that point, I'm on the phone with my pastor. Great conversation. It started out like this, him saying, "Hello, Pastor." Me crying. And just saying, "I'm studying because I want to be back in the saddle. And I've got this splitting headache. I can't do it. Do you have my back?" And he had my back. And not only did he have my back, but he came and he laid it down for 2 weeks, right? God knows what God is doing. And in the process, God orchestrates things that need to be the way that he has orchestrated them. Here's your National Geographic moment. This is for you, wife. God didn't use a sparrow to speak to me. He used his word and he used a killdeer. I don't know if any of you have killdeers in your yard. Killdeers are migratory birds. They show up back in Northeast Ohio early March. When they show up, you know it because they are loud birds. They are dramatic birds. They don't be quiet. Day and night, these birds are just chirping, and anything comes around, they're just alarmed. It's going on. But during my recovery time, something happened. That killdeer that showed up in early March, it came nesting time. And a weird thing about killdeers when they nest, this thing built a nest about 2 feet from my driveway right there on the ground. And it's so wild because you see all these other birds, right? There's this eagle's nest when you go to get on 90 over there. The thing's huge, several hundred pounds up in a tree. Robin's nest, you know, they always pick the most picturesque place to put a nest. And then there's this killdeer right there on the ground. And so, you know, I'd wander out on the porch, greasy hair, can't see, and I'd see that killdeer. It's like the one thing that I'm like, this is good stuff, you know? Couldn't drink Coke Zero because the medication made it taste like cough syrup, good times. But I would go out and I'd look at this killdeer. What's wild is when nesting time comes, everything changes for that bird. So this bird that goes from being very high strung and dramatic, it goes to a point where you can walk right up next to the nest when it's on the nest. It won't move. It won't make a peep. What's wild about it is with the timing, how I just said, during March, there's always one or two big snows that fall that we don't expect, but we expect. There's always a few of those high wind warning days, hail. There's those unexpected warm and cold spells that come. But that bird, regardless day or night, it stays on that nest. And God checked me. He checked me. See, we get to this place when it comes to belief, we think that it's over when we build the nest. We think we've gone far enough in obedience. We think we've done enough when we've been obedient. Like when the egg is in the nest, I've done all I need to do. But what if time and positioning have to happen sometimes for the process to be completed? 2 Corinthians 12:9 tells me this, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." His grace is enough. Now, I could stand up here today and I could call each one by name and say to you, his grace is enough in this season, whatever it may be for you. I don't know what measure of grace you need, but it is enough. The struggle that you're facing, the frustration that you are facing, his grace is enough. God's unmerited favor on you. It is a saving grace. It's a sustaining grace. God's grace brings forth beautiful things. It brings forth the great things. It brings forth the perfected things. As I was laying there, and I would get messages from people at times, Eric Lang sends me this video. It was of a pastor. I don't know the pastor's name because it never said it on the video. But I was reminded of the way that God's grace works. The pastor was holding a baseball bat, and he said, in my hand, this bat, if it was a professional model, would be about $140. But in Aaron Judge's hands, this is worth $40 million per year. He picks up a tennis racket, and he said, this could be about a $100 tennis racket, but in Serena Williams' hands, it's worth about $20 million. Picks up a football, and he says, in my hands, nothing, but in Patrick Mahomes' hands, $208.1 million guaranteed over 4 years worth. And he picks up a basketball and just says the word LeBron James. No, it's like a money machine. He goes on to say that none of those things in themselves had much value, but it has everything to do with whose hands they're placed in. Isaiah 64:8, you are the potter, God. We are the work of your hand. There's times that you are forced because you're feeling literally dizzy from an eye surgery to figure out you're on the potter's wheel. There's times you got to figure out, God, you're in charge here. I'm not. And what you place in God's hands will find its value. The second part of that, 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is where I really got checked. If you want to rest, you need to learn to be silent. One of the hardest things for Christians is to hold our opinions, to hold back our feelings, to keep our thoughts quiet. It's amazing how many people claim to walk in peace, but yet live lives that are spent cultivating chaos with words, with heart sets, with mindsets. It's wild that silence makes men uncomfortable. What school would have gotten up here today and I would have just held the mic and just stared at you all for a little while? You'd be uncomfortable. What's going on with that? It seems that our default setting sometimes is chirping. I am privileged to be a part of a Facebook ministers group. And it's amazing that every day someone chirps about something, spouts off about something. Someone types in all caps about something. Chirping is what we do. And I'm reminded of this fact. When I was ordained as a minister, something that was about as traumatic as that eye surgery was having to wear a suit and go down to Columbus. And in Columbus, we have this service, and they call you forward, and they place a Bible in your hand. And they say to you, you know, we want you to stand and to face the congregation. Stand still and face the congregation. And as you're doing that, you know what I feel on my back? A hand and another hand and another hand. And it was the spiritual covering that was over me, praying, blessing, and anointing, and future, and God's guidance, and passing that torch on to me. I couldn't see what was going on behind me, but in the Holy Spirit and the power of that, I felt that God's leading, that those hands, that prayer was going up. 1 Samuel 12:16 says this, now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. There are some translations that say stand still. The context of this is that God was getting ready to show up and to show off. God was getting ready to do something before the people. He was about to make it rain during a time when it would be considered out of season. There are times in your walk where there are almost those Job moments where we spend so much time telling God and telling God and telling God. And it's almost like with Job, when God's like, you know what? I've listened to you speak. Now listen to me. It's never comfortable. But there are times when you get checked. You know, that box that you've been attempting to cram God into that leads us to thinking he can only work this way or at this time. The fact that we get surprised when we say something like, a miracle took place. Shouldn't miracles be the norm when it comes to God's people? Why should I be shocked when they happen? Because he is a God who performs the miraculous every single day. It's time for us to get in position and to get ready for some out-of-season miracles. How does that look? I'll share a couple steps with you here. May stick to the script, may not. Who knows? First thing we need to do is we need to remind our heart that we serve an almighty God, that we serve a holy God. There are times when the storm is brewing, when the storm is blowing, that we need to just say, I serve an almighty God. I was just talking to Lisa out in the hall, and I said, Lisa, you could go up there right now and you can preach, because she just about preached this point right there standing in the hallway. There are times in faith with that tenacity, you say, you know what? I am standing here. I am standing knowing who God is. Habakkuk 2:20 says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Keep silent. What's wild is when you begin to research this word and the different usages in the Old Testament, that it's not the same word all the time. Silent doesn't just mean this. Silent can mean different things. The Hebrew word that is used to be silent, it means shh, hush. As an adult, what is one of the most offensive things that can happen to you is when someone shushes you. You ever notice that? You ever see someone get worked up about that? Don't you shush me. Right? But doesn't that carry over into the spiritual, that we come to a place where we're not able to be shushed? Get quiet before God. Positioning your heart to hear the Lord often means positioning my mouth to be closed. Psalm 4:8 says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, you make me dwell in safety. There are times that we need someone to tell us. See, I'm a veteran of chaperoning Winterfests, and there comes a point at Winterfest when you need to go to the young men at about 2:38 in the morning and say to them, okay, we're going to stop eating Reese cups and drinking Mountain Dews. It's 2:38. We're going to stop yelling at the top of our lungs. We're going to go night-night. You need to be, there are times spiritually that I need God to come to me and say, it's time to hush, child. You may be sitting here and you're thinking, I feel like I'm in position, but the sky is growing dark. You know, I thought that obedience would be accompanied by sunshine. It's in those times that I feel like the God whisper is, do you understand the assignment? Do you understand the assignment? The second thing, in faith and obedience, you need to get into position. Exodus 14:13 says this, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Context, literally back against the wall, back against the sea with the enemy approaching to take no prisoners. This is where they are. And so when this is said, that word, when he says stand still, that Hebrew word means to station yourself. I think of the first responders that we have in our congregation when they report to the station because that's where they're supposed to be. And there comes a point in positioning where we need to say, I am showing up reporting for what is required of me. I'm going to remain where I'm supposed to be, come what may. You can count on me to be at my post. We need to learn to lay back in quiet trust. Psalm 62:1 says, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. One of the hardest questions to kind of chew on spiritually is, are you listening to respond, or are you listening to obey? Oh, I need to learn to listen to obey. Just like that bird, though, no matter what gets close to the nest, it's not going to move. It's resolute. It could be the Amazon delivery truck that has half a muffler. It could be the lawnmower going beside it. It's not going to move. It could be the garbage can rolling down beside it. It's not going to move. This is a season where God is training us, where God is using things that you may seem are just, they look mundane, they look like they don't matter, but what if it has major spiritual implication? How about this? It's funny how God will put people who have opposite ways of doing things together. Me and my wife are incredibly similar.
We are.
When she studies, she wants it quiet. When I study, I go to Fiona's in downtown Willoughby. I need to hear jackhammers. I need to hear car horns. I need to hear people dropping metal trays. I need to hear things going on, the noise around me, to be able to focus. Don't know where that started. Maybe it was in college. Maybe it was a coping mechanism, you know, that really was a gift that God gave me. But what I love about it is this, that when I'm sitting there and I'm studying, I can feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit in those kind of atmospheres. And it's a way of saying to the enemy that the chaos does not dictate the outcome. Part of positioning is letting the enemy know that you're not doing things on his terms. Oh, but that term, silently wait for God. When you tie that to that original word, it means repose. In other words, to lay back comfortably. In my Leroy terminology, it means to get situated during the situation. I think of this next photo. Throw that one up of the lighthouse there, Stace. If you can see that, I didn't want to make it too zoomed in because I want you to see the scale of the waves around that, but that guy has his hand in his pocket standing in that doorway. To me, it communicates that same thought as Psalm 23, that he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. That maybe part of positioning is letting the enemy see you slip your hand in your pocket in that doorway as the waves crash, when he is screaming at you to go get the lifeboat, when he's screaming at you to come up with a plan B. There is no plan B when it comes to the God plan here. God has you exactly where he's going to protect you and he's going to take care of you. So in the original language of Psalm 62:1, it's God's way of saying, let the enemy see you standing in that doorway. And when he says, are you scared? You don't even need to reply. Just take in the view. Fourth thing, reverent silence means that I let God be God. You know, there are times that I can get ahead of God. Plenty of times that I try to get ahead of him. Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. So I'm, you know, again, getting ahead of God. When I'm researching this word, I know what this word's going to mean. It means don't talk, right? No, you dig into it. Do you know what this word means? Show me this next one. It means to plow. Look at the first photo that comes up when I say plow. Good Lord. How many of you in this season right now feel like that's your view? You know, you don't get to choose the view. Some people would be so just like, I can't even believe God put me here in this season. You're there to plow the ground. This isn't a scenic thing. This is a place to plow the ground, people. I am digging into promises. I'm watching because God's going to bring life forth here. God's going to spring things forth here. Others may be looking for greener pastures, but I'm here to turn the dirt. Oh, just remind that song. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory, victory shall be mine. I don't need to fill the air with my words. I need to fill my heart with his word. The Lord will fight for you. It says, when you look at that, how it translates, it means to speak in a loud tone. So when I am positioned and I am quiet, my reverent silence allows the devil to hear defeat uninterrupted coming from the mouth of God himself. I don't need to add anything to the background. I'm not silent because I've been defeated. I'm not silent because fear has shut my mouth. I'm quiet because I'm reminding my soul of who my God is. So here's the thing. So I like animal specialists, I also like history. During the Civil War, the rebel army, there was something that they were known for. Compared to the Northern army, they weren't as well equipped. Maybe they lacked the organization. But when it came to the battle, there was something that took place in many battles. It's called a rebel yell. What is that, you may ask? It's not a just Billy Idol song. It is these men, before the fight would start, would just let out this guttural scream. Just this almost haunting yell. They would just go off. And to the opposing army, it was very disconcerting. It was just like, what is going on the other side over here? And in so many battles, it was something that brought them together. It was something that brought unity. It is something that they would just channel rage and they would just get in that fighting spirit by doing this. But here's wild and something that I read. That same army, when they would be in the camp, and General Robert E. Lee would ride through the camp, you would think that this army, who was so expressive, who couldn't hold back, that when the general would pass through on horseback, that they would erupt into cheer. But the truth was that the soldiers remained silent as the commander passed through the camp. Some of us in this house know how to shout. Some of us in this house need to find our shout. But here's a truth. As much as there is a time to shout, as much as there is a time to bring the house down, Ecclesiastes 3:7 tells me that there is a time to be silent. It is out of reverence of knowing that my God has this handled. It is knowing that in this season, I may not have every answer, but I know the one who does, and I will remain silent. The last point here is this. Godly silence will not leave you empty-handed. Psalm 62:5 says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. You see that word expectation? Do you know what it translates to? It translates to accord. I think there's a picture of accord. And as I was studying, I mean, that's a climbing rope. They're all chalked up. It hit me. A rope and accord are two different things. You know, I think of a cord, when you pull a cord, something happens. A light comes on. Blind goes up. Cord has a specific purpose. It's attached to something. A cord is attached to the promises of God. This expectation, I'm holding one end, and I may not see what's on the other end, but I know who is on the other end. As I hold on to it, I know that victory is on the other end. I know that a new thing that God is doing is on the other end, and I'm not going to let go of this cord. I'm not going to let go in this season. As weird as it may seem walking around holding this and people question why I'm holding on to things that don't make sense to them, I'm not going to let go. Not like a rose, I won't let go, Jack, but like a real, I won't let go. It's a white knuckle time when it comes to faith. I know who is on the other end. And so I would ask you this today, church. Are you in position? Are you willing to obey even when it is uncomfortable? Are you willing to stay the course when it seems incredibly frustrating? Are you in when the rain begins falling? Are you in when the chaos appears to be swirling? I urge you to find your position. Remind your heart who you serve. You may be in such a mess right now that simply when we go to close this in prayer, you need to say, God, remind me of who you are today. I may not get to point three in the next 3 weeks, but God, remind me of who you are today. Remind me of what you have done in my life. Remind me of the things that cannot be taken, cannot be argued away, that the world can't steal. Remind me, God. And then some of you need to embrace the God hush. Again, when God shushes you, it's not to demean you. He shushes you because he needs your attention for what he's about to do. Need to get situated during this situation. It's easy to cry out, God, how could you let this happen? But it takes a certain amount of spiritual maturity to say, God, I will situate myself during this situation because I know you have this. And the last thing, you need to hold on to hope. Let nothing pry your fingers away. If you have ever had a toddler who has picked up something that they shouldn't have, you know the power of the white knuckle. In faith, find that very thing. And I close on this thought. Remember how I said in the beginning that when that bird first shows up, it is all kinds of dramatic. Good Lord. But then something changes when it's in position. You are not defined by your past. You are not defined by the way that you reacted in that season. You are not defined by what was, but you are defined by the positioning of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to endure. And you may not know how long you're going to be sitting there, but guaranteed you are sitting there by design and by one who will protect you. And let's watch together as God brings forth the new things in this season. If you'll stand. Before I pray, I would just like to say this. As I was standing in my office this morning and I was finishing up one of these points, I look out the window. You just see the cars coming in. From the bottom of my heart, I would like to thank you for being a part of this church family. I'm not the pastor who's going to stand and say this church is so much better than all the other great churches in the area. I respect the pastors in our area. I respect the work they do. But I am thankful for the fact that you choose this house, that you choose this place as a church family. In a moment, we're going to pray. Here's what I would ask, though. Be brave in this next season. Don't be shaken in this next season. Don't allow the wind to make you look away. Don't allow the things that the world has turned away for to cause you to turn away. I thank God for you, church. Let's pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, right now, what I ask God is for your peace to settle over your people. Lord, I pray that the things that we do not understand and the things that we cannot define in this moment, Lord, by design, you are God and you are the one who has set things in motion. And Lord, I pray for the courage to remain steadfast. I pray, Lord, for the resolute hearts to stay in position. And Father, I pray for the testimonies to be brought up before their very eyes as they drive home today and as they spend time with family. Let our lives be built on testimony and strength.
I remind the enemy that we're not going for the life jackets or the lifeboat. We're standing in the doorway. In the name of Jesus,